Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
That was a quick hour, and I'm sure the next three are going to fly by just as quickly because we've barely scratched the surface of the NFL. So far, we've talked about Draymond Green, his one-game suspension, the reaction from Kevin Durant and some of the other Warriors, and we will hear from more of them as we head through the show and we find some time. Also, Jimmy Butler finding a new home in the Philadelphia 76ers. So is this enough to make the man content? Is this enough that he's all in and not so much that he changes his personality, but that they can get along, that he can get along with his new team and they can have the chemistry that you absolutely must have to be, it doesn't mean you all like each other. It just means you have to have the right chemistry, the right mix. Combustible is okay. Volatile, when it gets to volatile, that's when you got a problem. So can Jimmy Butler make it work with a bunch of young guys in Philadelphia? Remember, it was some of the young guys in Chicago and young guys in Minnesota that set him off. A milestone for Jumbo Joe Thornton, just the seventh player in NHL history to have 1,500 games, 1,000 assists, and 400 goals. And yes, I'm geeking out over it. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll reveal your choice for Monday MVP. I know it's not Monday anymore, but it's my first return to the show since then. So want to make sure we follow through on that and your candidates for touchdown of the week. We've got some good ones. I know I wasn't here following Monday Night Football, but I really enjoyed watching Eli Manning and the guys he's got around him put together a late game scoring drive and a come from behind win. Feels like they've worked really hard and they've suffered enough. Not that the Niners haven't suffered, but they had their win with Nick Mullins. Anyway, so there was a lot of fun football last night on the show. I hope that you enjoyed it, even though I wasn't here. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. About 90 minutes away from Ask Amy Anything, it'll be the first opportunity for Dave, who is working with us this week. He doesn't get to ask Amy anything, at least not on the air. But I know that it's one of his first times through, a week of our show and with us. And so if he's entertained, then I guess we're doing something well. So the outsider is the insider this week. Dave, thanks so much for being with us. We're going to have a bunch of different people who will be filling in over the next month as we try to determine how we can fill Isaac's shoes. I don't know that it's possible, but if the Steelers can find a way to plug the large hole left by Le'Veon Bell, well, then we can somehow figure out how to plug the hole left by Isaac. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We will get to the Le'Veon Bell situation in 2 minutes, I absolutely promise. But this is also critical from the NFL. The Rams and the Chiefs are moving their game, or their game is getting moved, back to Los Angeles. So it's no longer going to be played in Mexico City after the NFL did a site inspection and try to determine whether or not the turf was safe for an NFL game. They did that on Tuesday. There has been a whole resodding of this field at Estadio Azteca. The problem is they've had an exorbitant amount of rain, something that a lot of people in the United States can identify with, and the field is in rough shape. And so the NFL erred on the side of caution and player safety and moved this game, I don't want to say back to Los Angeles, but you know, it is supposed to be a Rams home game. And so someone said to me on Twitter, it's not fair that it's not at a neutral site. No, no, what wasn't fair was taking a home game, if we're talking about fair. What wasn't fair was taking a home game away from the Rams and moving it to Mexico City. What I didn't know about NFL policy is that whenever there's an international game and it's taken from a particular home site, in this case, Los Angeles, the stadium and the team is required to keep the date open on its calendar as a contingency plan. So in case something like this would happen, or any type of scenario in which the game can't be played where they intended, as you can understand, international politics and and governments and just life, whether it be a tragedy or something that happens that would prevent the team from playing where they intended outside the United States, they have to have a backup plan. In this case, every home stadium is required to leave the date open in case they need to move the game back. And that's exactly what will happen. And so the Rams are actually in Colorado Springs all week, preparing in higher altitude. They will return to Los Angeles on Saturday, now in time for their Monday game, hosting the Chiefs. Andrew Whitworth is a member of the offensive line, and they're practicing in Colorado Springs, and they heard the decision from afar.
I think, you know, really we keep the same mindset mentality. We kind of, what we said when we got here, we're like, look, you know, there's obviously a situation going on with the field, and we don't know what's going to happen there, but it really doesn't change our plan. Our plan is to come here and work and get some good work in the altitude and in training. And so that really doesn't change us much. We're going to go to work just like we were going to Mexico City. It's just that we're going to get the opportunity to actually go home instead.
I did read that the Rams are going to honor their community commitments in Mexico City, which is great. So some of them will be there doing various outreaches in the community before the game, but that they will, of course, be back in time for that Monday matchup between their 9-1 team and the 9-1 Chiefs. I appreciate this as well. Because the game is now in Los Angeles, the Rams will give away thousands of comp tickets to first responders and people affected by the recent tragedies in the area. And you know what I'm talking about. The dozen people that were killed in the mass shooting at the bar in Thousand Oaks, and the Rams facility is nearby. And in addition to that, the fires, the wildfires that are raging in the area have claimed the lives of two people. This is in Southern California. I know the fire in Paradise in Northern California has been far deadlier. But that fire has displaced many of the Rams employees and staff members. Not to mention you've got firefighters and first responders working round the clock. The Woolsey Fire is the name of this one, and it's burned more than 96,000 acres as of Tuesday evening, and it's only 35% contained. Now, that's better than what it was, say, 24 hours ago. But CBS News is indicating that 370 buildings have been destroyed in this fire, and there are many more that are raging in Northern California. And so the Rams are trying to help out in any way that they can. They're paying for a lot of the expenses of their team employees who have to move to hotels or are displaced from their homes. And Whitworth, who we just heard from SiriusXM NFL Radio, is one of the Rams who's donating his game check from last Sunday, to either victims of the fire or victims of the shooting. And so it's good to see these Rams, who could be all consumed with their 9-1 season and everything that's happening in their own little bubble. It's good to see them get outside of that and remember the life and death situations that are taking place in their communities. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Nate is listening in Fort Worth. Nate, welcome to After Hours.
Well, hello there. How are you, Amy?
I'm good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
First off, I think you're one of the best sports announcers I've heard in a long time, especially being a female, you're even better. About that Kansas City Rams game, why didn't they just take it to Kansas City instead of having people come out there and get in all that smoke?
Well, because it's a Rams home game.
Yeah.
And they obviously, they have a certain level. I found this out just because they played in Santa Clara on Monday night. So I found this out by doing some research. There is a certain level of air toxicity that if they reach it, they would not play the game in that smoke. And so they're obviously going to be testing air quality before the game on Monday night. Let's hope that the fire is almost contained by then, because the firefighters and first responders are working furiously to get this done. But they do have most of the rest of this week. So we're talking about almost a full week to be able to get that fire contained. But it is a home game. It belongs to the Rams. So talk about not fair to move it to Kansas City. And, you know, the idea is that by then the danger would be past.
And I understand you don't make predictions, so you can't
do not
pick two teams for the Super Bowl, huh?
I mean, it feels a little bit goofy to pick two teams for a Super Bowl in Week 11.
Well, if you got a lot of knowledge, you should be able to do it.
No, that's what people think. That's why I don't bother, because people think if you make a prediction, and you work in this business, it's something more than guessing. No, it's still guessing. If we knew it was going to happen, we wouldn't pay attention to sports. We wouldn't bother. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And furthermore, I love the fact that sports always surprise us. And so, no, predictions are guesses. Whether I'm making it or you're making it, we're still just guessing.
Okay, Amy. All right. I'll take it like that.
Cool.
Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Thanks, Nate. I appreciate you listening in Fort Worth. After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, people think if you work in this business, your knowledge would make you better at guessing. No, are you kidding? Every year, first of all, I'm out in week one of the Survivor pools. And second of all, my March Madness bracket looks like a red marker threw up. I mean, your knowledge sometimes makes you overthink things. We don't have any idea how sports are going to play out. Yeah, because we all knew that UMBC was going to take out the number one seed in Virginia a year ago, because everybody knew that was going to happen, right?
I'm not a science computer!
Nope, and even if I was, I still wouldn't make predictions. 855-212-4227. All right, so Le'Veon Bell forgoes his ability to play any football at all in 2018. He skips the deadline. He does not sign his contract, which means we won't see him on a field this fall. And it's crazy how much this story has morphed and changed. And what I discovered as I was writing today, and as I was doing some research and going back and remembering some of the various things that Le'Veon has said over the past, we'll call it 8 months, he actually had indicated he was playing. He was going to play. He planned on playing. And do you remember this? This was going to be the best season of his career. In July, Le'Veon Bell vowed that 2018 would be the best season of his career. So what happened? James Conner happened. The Steelers rebounded from a 1-2-1 first month. That's what happened. Le'Veon placed a high-stakes gamble and lost. Now, he may very well have a fresh start somewhere else if the Steelers decide to let him go. Here's something that I keep hearing that's actually inaccurate. By Le'Veon Bell not signing his franchise tag and sitting out this season, he does not automatically become an unrestricted free agent. That's not true. And I keep hearing people say that. That's not true. The Steelers still have the ability to place another franchise tag on him. Why? Because he never signed this one. It doesn't apply to him because it didn't actually get signed, which means they could use the second franchise tag on him next year the way they were supposed to this year, or they wanted to this year. So he doesn't do himself any favors by skipping the season. He loses the entire year of NFL service. And the Steelers still hold his rights. Now, they can use the transition tag on him, in which case they have the ability to match if he gets an offer from another team. But what happens is if they use the transition tag, then they don't lose him for nothing. So the Steelers are still in the driver's seat. And Le'Veon has lost all his leverage. And the longer this goes, the more lukewarm the trade market. So I wrote an entire column on it, and it's posted on Twitter and Facebook. I hope that you will read it. In fact, I need to pin it to the top of my Twitter page, A-Law Radio. It's on Facebook. When you go to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, please check it out, because I explain why the Steelers are still sitting pretty. It's not just about James Conner. There's a lot of other nuances and factors, but I'm also fascinated with the way that Bell's tune changed over the past few months. And so if you check it out, love to get your feedback, and I'll take your calls too. You can find me again, Twitter, Facebook, on the phones. You'll hear from Mike Tomlin. And also, what's next for Bell? Because it's not just about the Steelers, it's also about Le'Veon. He made this choice to miss the entire year. What is he hoping will happen next? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. His heroics made us swoon this weekend.
I'm the best ever.
I am the greatest.
Now it's time to name the After Hours Monday MVP.
Callaway near side of the right. Landry in motion left to right. Mayfield under center. Second down and 10. Takes the snap. Gives it. Chubb runs. He's to the 10. 15. He's to the 20. 25. 30. 35. 40. 45. 50. There goes Chubb. He's to the 30. 20. 10. 5. Touchdown. Chubb-a-lubba hub. 92 yards.
It's always great to win, no matter what it takes. And willing to do anything they asked me to do. And I was, you know, not getting many carries. I was still taking advantage of the ones I got just to help this team in any way I could. And that's still now I'm getting more carries, so I'm going to make the most out of all of them.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
One of my favorite calls of the weekend. Chubba wubba hub! It was also the longest play from scrimmage in the NFL this season. Nick Chubb's 92-yard touchdown run at the beginning of the second half of their game against the Atlanta Falcons. Jim Donovan with the call on the Cleveland Browns radio network. So your choice for Monday MVP. I know it's late, but better late than never. And coming up next, we'll give you the options for TD of the week. So there's a lot of reasons to check out our show page on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can vote for TD of the week, which I suspect that Nick Chubb's run will be in there. It was also the longest run for the Browns in their franchise history.
Chubba lubba hub!
Pretty amazing. And so this is a neat moment for Nick Chubb, but there will be other touchdowns that we'll include in the poll. Right, so that's coming up. And then you want to pose your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I know you do. You always wait till after the fact, and then you send them, and it's too late. So After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And thanks again to those of you who are checking out my column. I do appreciate it. It's about Le'Veon Bell. It's about the Steelers post Le'Veon Bell, at least for this season, because we do not know what happens moving forward. There are multiple options. And Jason LaCanfora, our CBS NFL insider, tried to sift through the various options of what's next for Bell on CBS Sports HQ.
The Steelers will put the transition tag on him. I've been reporting that for weeks. There's all these people getting bogged down in the weeds about would it be a third franchise tag, a second franchise tag? Would they have to do it at the quarterback rate? They're not going down that road, but they will transition him to protect their rights of first refusal on any contract he gets. If he doesn't play the entire season, then that transition tag figure will either be $9.5 million. The NFL would argue that's what it should be, the 2019 transition tag figure for running backs, or it'll end up being $14.5 million, which would be a 20% raise off of his last salary that he actually earned in 2017. On the franchise tag. That'll go before an arbitrator. He'll make his decision. In the meantime, whatever he decides, Le'Veon Bell will have 1 week to get an offer from he'll have the offseason to get another offer from an NFL club. Once he has one that he doesn't think the Steelers will match, then he presents that to the Steelers and they have a week to decide whether or not they want to match.
That's not unrestricted free agent. So if you're hearing unrestricted free agent for Le'Veon Bell, you're hearing incorrectly. It's another way in which Bell did not do himself any favors by sitting out the entire season. Not only did he forfeit $14.5 million, which most of us as average Americans can't even fathom. In fact, his own offensive lineman, Ramon Foster, said he makes seven times what I make. So the money is definitely an issue. It's got a lot of us agog at how he could leave that kind of money behind because he'll never get this year back. Not to mention the roughly $200,000 in health and retirement benefits that he leaves on the table for not accruing this year of service. But he doesn't become an unrestricted free agent because he skipped out on his contract. It's not how it works. The Steelers had him signed for a particular number of years, and until he fulfills those years, this one doesn't count. He's still a member of their team. So they will likely transition tag him, which means the door is open for him to go somewhere else, but it also means the Steelers have the first right of refusal. And of course, if they do lose him, then they get something in return. They get compensatory draft picks. Mike Tomlin, He maintains the same stance that he has taken from the very beginning with Le'Veon Bell and the uncertainty.
I've told you guys, and I've told you guys consistently, a reaction comes from me if and when he walks in the door. Until that happens, I'm business as usual, focused on those that are here and working, and appropriately so. That way I don't waste my time and theirs.
I love him so much. His press conferences are one of my favorite parts. What about if this is the end of Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh? I feel like pushing Mike Tomlin to talk about a player that's not there probably isn't going to get you anywhere, but the question was still asked.
Man, I hadn't thought about that one iota. Again, like I've said repeatedly, and I mean, I'm focused on the guys that are here, man. We got enough challenges that are significant in terms of meeting the things that we need to meet this week in terms of getting a win.
The title of my column is Running Free, because now he is, in fact, running for free. Whatever running he does is on his own time and his own dime. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Mike is listening in Atlanta. Mike, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, I felt like Le'Veon was going to show up and play, but then his pride kind of got in the way. Like, the Steelers started winning and everybody was praising James Conner. And then, you know, his pride got in the way and he just said, you know what, I don't want to show up. You know, I think he thought the team was going to be a little worse than they are. And so he just decided not to even show up, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, and I would agree that there's definitely an element of that, considering that in July he said this would be his best season ever, and as recently as October 1st. Now remember, October 1st was after the Steelers had fallen to the bottom of the AFC North, had tied with Cleveland, and had a record of 1-2-1. And on October 1st, Bell did an interview with ESPN in which he indicated that he missed football and he couldn't wait to get back and play. But since then, guess what's happened? The Steelers have won 5 consecutive games, and James Conner has been killing it to the point where I've even called him a sleeper for the MVP award. Now, it's still early, but the Steelers are in the running for a first-round bye in the playoffs. All of that, I agree with you, contributed to this decision, though I still think it makes no sense.
Yeah, and they actually pulled up an old tweet of his where he said, if you don't show up for football, like if you hold out a whole year, then you don't love the game. And that was actually what he said like a few years back. And so that's what confuses me. Like you tweet that if you don't show up and play, you don't love the game, but then you do exactly what you tweeted.
Well, I would say this. Mike, you and I are human beings, just like Le'Veon Bell. Do you ever change your mind? I mean, do you ever make a decision and then make a different decision? So sometimes we put those decisions on social media because that's what everybody does, blah, on social media. And then you change your mind. I mean, that's pretty common. It's pretty much human nature. We grow up, we have different priorities, we look at things differently, circumstances change. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't bother me. It was a couple years ago, and I have no doubt he changed his mind. Just in the last month, he's changed his mind. So yeah, I wouldn't put too much stock in 15.
Well, yeah, I just hate that he's not going to play. He's such a good player,
agreed.
And I love to watch him. But
agreed.
I thank you anyway for the call.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate listening in Atlanta. Yeah, one thing that I've said on the show and that I noted again in my column is that it no longer fits the narrative for Le'Veon Bell to come back because he wants to be paid like a quarterback. Do you know, this is confirmed by both sides. The Steelers offered him 5 years, $70 million, which is $14 million per year. So he wanted more than that. He turned it down. The primary reason he turned it down, he said, is because of guaranteed money. And yet he just turned down $14.5 million, which is not exactly as much as he'd get or he'd like to get in guaranteed money, but it's 2/3 of what Todd Gurley got with his recent contract in terms of guarantees. So you just left that kind of money on the table. By coming back, no doubt he's thinking, I would be platooning with James Conner. That doesn't serve the narrative. My narrative is that I'm a feature back. I'm the guy who is number one, who's a game changer, who should be paid commensurate with that. So by coming back and platooning with James Conner, it's like showing the rest of the NFL that he's no longer a feature back and that they can use somebody else. except the rest of the NFL already sees it. Yeah, this was a high-stakes gamble. And while he may get a contract in the future, he just lost a year of his career, in the prime of his career, that he'll never get back. It's a lot of money, but it's more than that. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you want to send questions to Ask Amy Anything or for Ask Amy Anything, you want to send them to our show Twitter. I know Chris just retweeted the link to my column so that you can find it easily. It's on Facebook as well. Lots of you, hundreds of you who have already checked it out, which I really appreciate. It's certainly been the number one topic of conversation and debate for the football season so far. I don't know if it will die down now because maybe the speculation now is about what happens moving forward. But I do know that the Steelers must feel some relief because they don't have to worry about it right now. The players in the locker room, the coaching staff, this becomes a front office problem. It's no longer a locker room problem. And there will be no more questions because there's nothing else to say. 855-212-4227. Marvin Lewis hires an old friend. I love sports sometimes.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Fade a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Feathers dumping into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. Los Angeles Chargers.
And they'll bring the house. Rivers throws to Gordon on the screen. One man to miss, and of course he makes a miss. 40, 45, midfield 50, 40. No one in front of him. Flash to the finish line. Touchdown, Chargers. 66 yards to pay dirt, Melvin Gordon.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Empty backfield, Mahomes. Three eligible right, two left on third and goal at the 14 of Arizona. Snap to Mahomes at his belt, sidestepping. Fires for the end zone. The pass is going to be caught. Touchdown, Kansas City. Tyreek Hill, but Patrick Mahomes now has set a Kansas City Chiefs record, bringing his own ice to the party. 31 touchdowns in a single season, breaking the record of Lenny the Cool Dawson 55 years ago.
The Cleveland Browns.
Callaway near side of the right, Landry in motion left to right, Mayfield under center. Second down and 10, takes the snap, gives it. Chubb runs, he's to the 10, 15, he's to the 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. There goes Chubb, he's to the 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Chubb-a-lubba-hub, 92 yards.
The Buffalo Bills.
They put Kelvin Benjamin in motion, first and goal from the 7. Barkley takes, play action fake, looks into the end zone, fires short, he's got a man open, and it is Dawkins. Touchdown, Buffalo! Deion Dawkins, touchdown! Who are these guys? Who are these guys? The Bills with a 7-yard touchdown pass to Deion Dawkins!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The calls are so darn good this week. This is a difficult choice for TD of the week. Thanks so much for being part of a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours CBS Sports Radio. I don't remember the exact order. I think it was Matt Smith first on the Chargers radio network, Melvin Gordon with a 66-yard touchdown catch. Then Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs radio network, the record breaker. And it's only week 10. 31 touchdown passes sets the new franchise mark. And for Mahomes, you can imagine he's got a few more to go this season. We know all about Nick Chubba-Wubba-Hub, Jim Donovan on the Browns radio network. It wasn't just a franchise record breaker. It was also the longest play from scrimmage in the NFL this year for the rookie running back. And then I don't know if I can vote for anything other than big man TD, Deion Dawkins from Matt Barkley in his first start in 2 years. Who are these guys? That's the great John Murphy, who actually was doing games. I don't know exactly how many years he's been there, but he was doing games when I had my first commercial job in Rochester, and part of my job was running the board for the Buffalo Bills. And so Murphy was doing games back then, and he's a fixture. He's classic for sure, and Bills fans love him. So John Murphy, Jim Donovan, Matt Smith, Mitch Holtis, you've got the candidates for TD of the week. I've already retweeted the poll, but you can check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. That's also where you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, or you can send them to our Facebook page. Believe it or not, I've been so busy over the course of the last almost 2 hours now that I haven't even opened up the Facebook page yet, but I promise that I will. Oh, it's kind of better because I'm not supposed to be seeing the questions for Ask Amy Anything ahead of time. And you know me, I'm all about the spoilers. I tend to cheat, and sometimes I look at the questions before Chris lines them up and fires them at me. So again, on either Twitter or Facebook, vote for TD of the week and send your questions for Ask Amy, which comes up about 50 minutes from now. CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday with some exciting regional action. The Pittsburgh Steelers head south to battle the Jacksonville Jaguars, and later the Los Angeles Chargers host the Denver Broncos in a classic AFC West showdown. You want to check your local listings for the game in your area, but kick off the day with the NFL Today presented by Jeep at 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, only on CBS. I saw this interesting tweet on Tuesday as I was researching and writing my weekly column. This happened to pass by my Twitter sphere or pass through my Twitter sphere. NFL on CBS viewership, up, 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 up through 10 weeks. I've told you the ratings are rebounding in 2018. And a lot of that has to do with the good young talent. It also has to do with the matchups. And it has to do with the fact that there has been very little focus on the national anthem protests. Now, I'm not saying that's the entire reason, but that's also a factor. Some networks have chosen not to show the national anthem. And there's a far less attention on the one or two guys, the handful of guys every weekend who are protesting. Plus, the NFL left it alone. Going back to the preseason, I told you the NFL was creating more trouble than it needed by leaving this issue in the spotlight. Let the guys protest who want to protest, because it's a very tiny majority. And it really isn't news after a while. And so that's one reason why NFL ratings are up. But according to CBS PR, to date, viewership is up more than 4%. And through week 10, the NFL on CBS is averaging nearly 16 million viewers. Yep, NFL is still a cash cow, and it's still the behemoth that every other sports league wants to be like when it grows up. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227, that's our phone number. 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. This is an interesting move by Marvin Lewis, no? I like the intrigue of it. I have no idea what Hugh Jackson will be doing specifically with the Cincinnati Bengals, but I think it's interesting and intriguing and fascinating that Hugh is rejoining his old buddy Lewis in Cincinnati. Remember, he was most recently the offensive coordinator. He's a big reason why Andy Dalton made such major strides as the quarterback of the Bengals. And so after Jackson got fired in late October, 2 days before Halloween, oh, the frightfulness of it all, Lewis and Jackson, who talk every week, they're really good friends, they agreed to work together again. Now, here's the other wrinkle to this. Marvin Lewis just fired his defensive coordinator, Terrell Austin. And in the game against the Saints, he took over defensive play calling himself. It actually didn't change anything. It didn't change anything. They still gave up more than 500 yards of offense to the Saints. Third consecutive game in which they've given up at least 500 yards of total offense to their opponent. Now, it's double duty that's difficult. Let's be honest. The defensive game plan is ever morphing. And so to be in charge as the head coach and also be calling the defensive plays, that's rough. And then Lewis hasn't done it himself in like 15-something years, maybe even more than that. But he felt like there needed to be a change, and so he let his defensive coordinator go.
The move I made today, it's very unfortunate. It's, Terrell has worked very hard here. But I just felt like we have to rock their world. We got to shake things up. We got to do better.
Now, I don't think we should make the leap that Hugh Jackson will be calling defensive plays. He's an offensive coach, primarily. At least that's how he's made his money in the NFL. So what will he be doing on game days? Lewis actually implied, he only released a statement when he announced that Jackson was joining the staff as a special assistant to the head coach, that he would help on defense. But I think to place the kind of responsibility on Hugh Jackson in which he would be involved in play calling is way too much. But Lewis does have a great comfort level with Hugh. That's what he said in his statement. And he's going to assist me with the day-to-day responsibilities on defense. It could be scouting. It could be watching tape. Terrell Austin spent his game days in the booth. But we don't know where Jackson will be. Maybe on the sidelines, maybe not. I just think it's fascinating. I'm glad that Hugh has an opportunity to stay involved in the game that he loves through the end of the year. And it obviously helps that they're in the same division and he can offer insight. He can offer the kind of insight that could potentially help the Bengals win a game. You never know how it's going to work out. Right now, they're at 5-4. They're still very much in the running for both the AFC North title as well as a wild card. And they've got the Browns on their schedule twice in the final 6 weeks of the regular season. For them, they've got 7 more games, actually. So they're one of the teams that hasn't yet taken they've taken their bye. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. 7. 7 games, Amy. Learn how to do your math. Math and talking, same time. Shouldn't be happening. All right, we'll take some of your calls after we get past the top of the hour. In the meantime, you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything either to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page while the phones are ringing. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.